100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. As you can hear from the background, I'm walking on a treadmill, but that's okay. It's only at 1 mile an hour. I'm not doing anything too reckless or crazy. Well, we won't talk about that. So, it's a weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the story. How about we do a whole bunch of stories on a really long word? Not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, but superconducting. I guess it made people wish I'd went with supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But try saying that 10 times fast. No, I'm not going to do it. I drink my coffee. Man, that was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It said so right on the K-cup. Wrapped all the way around the little circular, tubular K-cup. Oh, so, who's ready for some stories? I am. I don't care if you are. You can just hit pause until you are. Let's go with John Musico and see what he has for us this week. John, tell us a story.
Inventor Assassinated by GE by John Musico. Traditional superconduction is to cool the conducting wire enough so that the electrons traversing its surface do not impede one another. Professor Minsky had a novel approach. Launch a series of protons along the conducting medium. This accelerates the electrons towards the leading proton, and the repulsion of the trailing proton further accelerates the leading proton. It involved no cooling at all. He called the device the proton accelerator, a single device that could be applied to an entire traditionally wired network. He presented his work at Stockholm. Before he could complete his presentation, a shot rang out from the audience.
Wow, that was exciting. Thank you, John, for exposing that conspiracy. Now we know why we can't have the electric car. Although I have been saving up, my goal is a Tesla. But I'm going to wait for the Tesla that's actually affordable and worth the money, as opposed to spending almost $100,000 on something that'll only drive to work and back. That would be nuts. That would be wasteful, I think. Be cool. Oh, sorry. I've watched too much football, and cars equals cool. The same with beer and fattening snacks, which aren't supposed to be so fattening, especially if you eat beef jerky and swallow it and try to hit someone in your stomach. I don't understand. All right, let's go on to the next story. How about something from Lady Blue? Oh, I get a warm feeling in my heart. That might be a heart attack coming on. I better speed up.
Magnum Opus. I held my breath as the magnet hovered gently over the small tray of superconductor and liquid nitrogen. The minutes ticked to hours. I thought about my family and how long it had been since I had seen them. How many years? They promised they'd let me go if I did this for them. They said that my research would change the world. The magnet continued to hover, even when the metal warmed to room temperature. I did it. Endless power and energy to the wrong people. I took the gun, placed it in my mouth, and pulled the trigger.
Wow. That was scary. Whew! Thank you, Lady Blue, for that dramatic moment. All right, let's look through the podcast and see what's updated this morning. This is what I usually walk to. There's a To Best of Our Knowledge, Fresh Air Weekend. I've already listened to all of them. You Can't Be This Furry. I don't think that's about furries. I think that's about a Russian Jewish author. Heart Talk, David Miliband. Art in the Age of Prince, I don't care. Francis McDormand, Fiddler on the Roof, Studio 360. Ooh, The Gist. Rogue Taxidermy, Art for Awful Dreams. Oh, that's going to be good. Have you listened to The Gist by The Slate? It's actually worth it. I think it's exciting. Even though I don't agree with most everything there, it's still interesting and enlightening. I don't agree with most things at all. I'm fairly cynical. In fact, I probably don't agree with Jeffrey, but his stories are next. You see? You see how that works? Although, actually, I do agree with him. These are good stories. So, let's listen.
Hello, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 442 on the topic of superconducting. Before I start, I want to say that I do drink coffee. So, Lawrence, I do know what it means when somebody says it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. On the other hand, I bring in my own to the office, so it is pretty cheap. But neither here nor there, I did also buy Flypaper Boy. It's sitting in my Kindle app on my iPad right now. I'll confess I haven't read it yet, in part because I have a bad habit of buying very long books. Get an editor, people, okay? Then the books will be shorter. Then I can read more books. And with that ramble, my first story is The Pickup Line. Pam straightened her skirt and wiped a stray hair from her face before stepping into the room. She wondered how many bad pickup lines she would get tonight, and briefly considered starting a Tumblr account to document the particularly bad ones. The first few were oldies but baddies, including, "Is your name Google? Because you're the answer to everything I'm searching for." Pam couldn't even muster a groan for that. She simply walked away. But the prize winner for the evening was a badly shaven man wearing a shirt filled with equations and a punchline no normal human would understand. Holding a plastic cup of beer, he sidled up to her and said, "Hey, babe, I know you want to go to my place, because I'm a superconductor, so you've got no resistance to me." She punched him in the face. "Conduct that." And my second story is called The God Particle. The second Thursday in September was Professor Frankenberg's day to use the superconducting supercollider. He was going to find the God Particle and win his Nobel Prize for the work. He had even written out his acceptance speech already. When the time came, however, the professor had a little performance anxiety. He started up the big machine, but accidentally put the device in reverse. His equations were sound. However, what he ended up with was evidence of the dog particle. Subsequent research showed how annoying this particle was. It stopped at every opportunity to spray smaller particles to mark its territory, and insisted on sniffing the rear ends of other particles. Well, Frankenberg didn't mind the cruel remarks his fellow physicists made about his discovery. The Nobel Prize and cash award took away the sting. Anyway, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And I completely agree with the fact that you bought Flypaper Boy by our very own Philip Norville Joe Carroll over at Philip Carroll, like the author something. The link is in the show notes. You can go there. Oh, wait. You can go there and buy it if you haven't already. I haven't written a review because I don't write reviews. I write glowing cheerleader pieces, which really aren't reviews. So I've been reading a few pages a day, just a few pages a day, and then you wake up and it's like, I've got to read them again. So I've been reading the same few pages a day over and over. As for writing really long books and get a freaking editor, well, do I really need an editor for 100-word stories? Actually, I do, looking at some of them. I just fixed up three when I did my reading yesterday. It was horrible. Spelling errors, grammar errors, words that just didn't fit the flow of the story. Hell, I said Lucky Charms at some point, and they didn't appear at all in the story. That's because I didn't have much sleep. Oh, and most importantly, thank you, Jeffrey. Let's move on to Richard and see what he's got up his sleeves. Up all of his sleeves. I've done this joke before. I've done every joke before. Go to the dry cleaners, you ask for some shirts, look up their sleeves. It just, you can only have so many jokes. The unbridled id eventually has to go back to the same pasture. Let's listen to Richard.
Good morning. Well, today is whatever day of the week you happen to be listening, but for me, it's Tuesday. And I have some stories for you on the theme of superconducting. Let's start with George. This is part 73. Trauma Ward. The trauma ward turned out to be relatively compact, containing only a few beds. Things seemed to be going George's way. Super. Conducting a quick search, he managed to locate the bed he'd vacated when he'd first woken up, and with interest scanned the notes hung at its foot. Car accident. Coma. These words sprang out at him, then more words that made little sense. Candidate 16? Final batch? What the hell did that mean? Turning to the bedside locker, he opened it, expecting to find his personal possessions. Oddly, the locker was empty. So where were all his things? And here's another story for you with a medical slant. It's called MRI. It's an off-putting experience being slid headfirst into the MRI scanner. Claustrophobia grips you in the confined space. You lie stock still, terrified to move lest you ruin the image. Then the thumping, grinding, clunking begins. Every fibre of your being is acutely aware that you're surrounded by massive superconducting magnets spinning at thousands of revolutions per minute and cooled in a bath of liquid helium. But the worst thing of all isn't the knowledge that you could be ripped to shreds and frozen solid. It's being forced to lie there, listening to Neil Diamond on those blasted headphones. Ever come across a combination of words you just can't say? This is take 3, first violin. First violin isn't the most glamorous role in the orchestra. Sometimes you're not even noticed. It lacks the drama of the percussion section and the glitz of the brass. But there are perks to the job. For a start, I have a prime seating position, handy for quick exits to the bar after performances. And I have a great view of the hot blonde playing the cello. And, of course, should the musical director be taken ill or fail to show, then it's my turn to step into the spotlight. Believe me, it really is super conducting. Another story? Okay, you've twisted my arm. This is called business acumen. Superconducting was the family business. Not that I could ever work up much enthusiasm for cabling works. But it was a successful company, and I wasn't complaining. Even so, I couldn't help dreaming of the bright lights and neon that a more high-profile career might bring. And when the chance to sell off the business and pursue my dreams came up, I grabbed it with both hands. And I've never looked back since. Hollywood, here I come. Yes, indeed. Supercon Lighting and Signage, Los Angeles, is doing very well indeed, and is much more fun than cabling. Well, that's it for me, and probably far more than it should have been. Until next week, I shall leave you with everyone else's stories. Goodbye.
Richard, you actually always leave me wanting more. There's never too many stories. Unless, of course, the size of the file is so large, it won't fit on the internet. That's the internet's problem, though. Thank you, Richard. Oh, also, first violin. You know, it can be glamorous. I saw Itzhak Perlman play the other year. Wow. He was glamorous. And he came out for a whole bunch of curtain calls, which is kind of evil because he was on crutches, you know, because of his condition. But still, it was awesome. And he came out early to, he was like waving, hey, you gotta do this and do that, giving little tips to the rookies. Well, although they're not rookies, they're professionals too. But I would consider them the AAA squad of orchestras down here in Houston. Still, they're good, and I need to go back there and listen more. I keep saying that. It was so much easier when I worked downtown. I could get to all the cultural things, or what passed for culture, if you consider baseball, or... Well, I only went to one basketball game. And hockey, And soccer, I could have gone the other week, but there were buy six, get six free kolache coupons on the back of the tickets that I never used. How about we listen to Anima Zabaleta? She's got something that'll make me forget about sticking my foot in my mouth. Here she is.
Hello, Anima here with my entry for this week's title, Superconducting. This is the remodeling project. Igor, come here, schnell. Yes, Herr Doctor? Have you seen this latest electricity research going on in Zurich? Amazing. I think we should remodel the laboratory, replacing this antiquated 18th century copper wire equipment with the latest transformers and fault limiters from ABB. Yeah, think of it, thousands of amperes of current. With all of that power, the new creature will certainly have better manners than he of whom we do not speak. And, since the new equipment is so much smaller, we could add that sewing room you have always wanted, Igor. Won't that be nice? Oh, yes, Doctor. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, thank you, Anima. It's always a delight to hear from folks who have gone out on adventures and then come back and share their new perspectives and inspirations. It's also fun to take a break from walking on this thing, even though I'm only going 1 mile an hour. I'm going to up that to 1.5. That way at least I get a little bit of sweat. Although when I'm done, I'm going to up it to 3 and then burn a little bit off. Because I've got a little burn off. And yesterday I went to Whole Foods, spent like $80, ate half of it. I mean, that's real easy. Okay, Honeycrisp apple, $4 there. 2 Dijoux pears, organic, $20. And it's just like, I was going to roast those and put those on pizza. Whoops, got to go back. Another $100. Oh, yeah, here are some salad wraps that you could have made for like 50 cents yourself, but you don't have the skill. I'm sure there are people with skill. I wish I had like talented neighbors. I could just go over, hey, I got myself a pizza in the oven. It's a good one. They have like a brick oven and they burn the place down every few weeks. Oh, and I need 18 hangers for my 18 shirts. I remembered to count this week. I'm very proud of myself, although what the hell do I need 18 shirts for during a week? Let's find out from Tom. Maybe he'll know.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got 4 stories tonight. The first, straight up steady state. Gabriel floated up to God. Sorry to say, Lord, but you look horrible, stated the archangel. Damnable CERN. Don't get your drift, boss. Since that bloody superconductor started picking off Higgs bosons, a bunch of me has slipped over the Einstein-Rosen bridge. Anything I can do? How thoughtful of you, Gabe. Could you take that flaming sword of righteousness and whack the first law of thermodynamics into tiny particles? Wouldn't that cause a multiverse reset? Might not. We'll just have to roll the dice. The angel whacked. All was blackness. This time, no entropy. What the fuck was I thinking? Story 2. I am Jeffrey's prostate. There has been much mention of Jeffrey's prostate here at the 100-word weekly challenged, but many of you may not know that Jeffrey's prostate is actually a superconductor. Yep, it cranks out pH levels that are right off the chart, which has spawned, forgive the pun, a whole new industrial repurposing, cutting artistic patterns in rare earth substrates. I got him to write out my name in cursive. Further, he has been getting proposals, forgive the pun, from all the major physics research centers. Years from now, Jeffrey will be known as the father of biophysics. Forgive the pun. Is he laughing? Anyone? Is he laughing?
Story 3.
Creating in the pre-post-human era. Living with an artist is not the easiest of relationships. For one, practical possessions are forever ending up in art projects. Gail's battery-powered latte frother is in a piece at the Tate. Befriending an artist will reduce your garden hardware. Diana's pitchfork is on loan to the Mona. Since I'm a member of the Friends of CERN, I've been eyeballing the Helidon Collider Superconductor for a LED project. Have you seen that thing? Damn colorful as hell. And all that heavy metal? Proto-steampunk. It will be a giant POV. And alternately spell out dog and god. And the last story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 71. Bannister dropped the superconductor coil into caterpillar mode to compensate for the waves of oncoming G-load. The last thing they needed was getting enveloped in a blue hole, which was just a tad bit more tolerable than a stay in a black hole. Higgs bosons sparked off the Batlofts and the Tardic stage. The Duke snorfled down the Higgs and was happily glowing vermilion. The net effect inside the stage was a glowing, unbridled, disproportionate level of optimism. Elsid burst out gleefully. Want to hear my evil plan for your demise? Smiling Smith chirped, love to hear it. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. CERN. Lots of CERN this week. I'm very concerned about that. They don't make many CERN jokes out there. They have no humor. Thank you, Tom. We'll be hearing a little more from Tom later. Danny, stay tuned. Who's next? Why, it's Muncie, of course. You knew it was Muncie time. The hackles on the back of your neck aren't rising. They are thrumming. They're waving. They're little fronds in the air like they do care. And they do. We all do. What I do is I turn off the fan in between. I'm learning as I do this. 442 shows in, and I'm still picking up tips for myself. Although, I'm sure that I listened to this, and there was like an electrical hum in the background. So there's some kind of interference coming up through the power cell. So what I need to do is unplug it while I'm walking. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. Production value. Screw it. Who cares? Let's just go with Muncie. Then I can turn the fan back on and sip some coffee.
Greetings, Halloweenies. From Muncie, who is so pumped up about the incoming Halloween, I can't even, you guys! For real. I'm going to my first proper Halloween party after 4 years of not being allowed to do so. My costume is ready to rock, and let's get this holiday going! But first, a story. Superconductor by Chris Monroe. I've been good for the last little while about the puns. When the new prompt each Sunday is announced, my instinct is to go meta and warp the story toward a gag. But I'm aware that I'm frequently the only one who finds such shenanigans amusing, and I've been consciously trying to wean myself away from this behavior. Mostly successfully. My stories haven't always been great, but they've at least been on topic. It's something I think I'm entitled to be proud of, and that nobody can begrudge my pride in. Yes, on this point, my conduct has been super.
Shut up, Muncie!
Yeah, sorry, that's my bad. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzieMunzie. And with that, I leave you, Halloweenies. Enjoy your week, and when we meet next, I'll be even more excited!
How could you possibly get more excited than that? I guess we'll find out next week. Thank you, Muncie, not only for the stories, but also for a week's anticipation of finding out how excited you can get. Is there a way to measure that? What units do we measure excitement in? I'd love to know. Are they in farfignugans? Are you at 500 millifarfignugans? I suppose we'll find out. Let's move on to serendipity. Serendipity has a story. Someone thought that a story of mine this week was kind of a serendipity-style story, except the torment didn't happen to someone else. Instead, it happened to me, which I do a lot. But life is torment. Haven't you figured that out? Didn't someone hand you the manual? Three words. Life is torment. Then you translate that into 100 languages and it comes out as Pat the Bunny. Here's serendipity.
Linotoroidal tunnel with superconducting magnets. Insert a white-coated, bespectacled, and bearded particle physicist at one end. Turn on the power and rapidly accelerate your scientist around the tube. Once they are approaching something near light speed, slam them into a solid immovable object, preferably another scientist. It's unlikely you'll discover anything remotely useful, let alone anything resembling a god particle. And it can hardly be described as proper scientific inquiry. But I'm no scientist, just a specialist travel agent. And it does make for an exciting and entertaining day trip for those fundamentalist church outings.
Thank you, Serendipity. I wanted to take a moment to just savor that one. The music in the background was haunting. Haunting, I tell you. And the things we do to scientists. I love science. Especially scientists approaching the speed of light. No one will ticket them. Scientists don't give high-speed things to cops. Unless it's guns and bullets, then, well, we won't go there. I haven't mentioned the thing that happened on Friday. Yes, a thing happened on Friday. Some of you noticed it. Some of you didn't. That's okay. The some of you that didn't, I don't love you anymore. Let's move on to Zach Man. I think I love him. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back through my history. I keep a very, very detailed account year to year of who I love and who doesn't, and if that's mutual or not, or if they love me, but I don't know. I just don't feel that way about them. Apple pie, I love all the time. Every time. Bad apple pie, good apple pie. It's all love.
It seems to be a fad this year to wear punny costumes. I decided not to combine my Old Man Time and Iron Man costumes to become the Iron Age. I love the Miss Universe costume, but I doubt I would look good in a star-spangled dress. So I am watching Shining Time Station, skipping to the parts with George Carlin or Richard Starkey. I am studying these two acting greats because this Halloween I will put on a train attendant's uniform with underwear over my pants and a cape over my shoulders. Then go out as Super Mr. Conductor.
Thank you, Zach Man, who smells like apple pie. Although, which was your favorite? George Carlin? Richard Starkey. We don't want to give away his identity. Put it in the comments. Although, you people never do. For a while, comments weren't working. That made it very hard to put comments in. But I think they're working now, and when I post up this episode, this weekly challenge, I'll make sure of it. Oh, I could use the fan about now. I did 20 minutes before I put the laundry into the dryer, and then another 20 minutes here, although it really is not that intense when it's 1.5 miles an hour. Let's keep going. Let's keep going with Tura. We'll turn the corner with Dora. Yes, I know I coughed and it spiked the meter as it went into the red. There's a cough filter. There's a pop filter. I don't use it because none of that stuff freaking works sometimes. I have to do videos at work this week because the person who was doing videos before with me, well, sort of, well, he, never mind. I don't want to talk about that. Instead, let's listen to Dora.
At the height of the storm, lightning flashes down and strikes the conductor's electronic baton. At once, he is transformed into Karajan Superconductor. Wielding his supercharged baton, he conducts vast symphony orchestras in acoustic feats that astound the world. Wherever a crisis looms, Karajan Superconductor is there. Drawing on the sonic energies of the earth and the sky, he averts volcanic eruptions, turns tsunamis, and routs revolutionaries with the force of music that can make even the dead dance. The comic artist finished his pitch and waited breathlessly for the publisher's answer. "Don't call us," he said. "We'll call you."
I don't know about them, but I would greenlight that immediately. It would be Arthur Fielder's triumphant return from the dead. Yes. Who remembers Arthur Fielder? No one. Oh, well. Thank you very much, Tora, for bringing back that fond memory of Arthur Fielder. I saw him perform, or conduct, or whatever you call it, once. Just once. And that was enough. I don't care how old he is. He was a young punk. Oh, sorry. It's just that Stars and Stripes Forever shouldn't feel like it lasts forever. Oh, man. Tubas. Tubas. Too many tubas. Let's move on to Chelsea before I get really riled up. Chelsea, save me from myself, please.
Superconductor by Chelsea. He had always been fascinated by the precision of his father getting ready for work each night. Pressed black pants, stiff leather belt, black socks, shiny black shoes, the fancy white shirt, and black bow tie. Always so careful, it was like a dance. For his 10th birthday, his mother finally took him to see his father at work. Bouncing with excitement, he waited for the lights to come up. When they did, the first thing he saw was a long black coat like a cape. From that day on, he told everyone that his father was a superconductor.
Thank you, Chelsea. That was a lovely romantic horror story. It'll get us in the mood for Halloween. Do we really want a Halloween episode this year? Or can we just latch on to Muncie's excitement, Tura's bravado, Tom's, I don't know what to say, but je ne sais quoi, or Danny's madness, or possibly Richard's love of the word, Zachman's oddity? I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. How about we just move on to Lizzie and say that we didn't? I really need to turn the fan back on.
Zero resistance. And, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The large audience was perplexed. That's it? They paid for an overpriced 2-hour-long seminar. The abrupt uproar of indignation caught the speaker running away as fast as he could. Two members of the audience hurried behind him. When they reached the back exit, there was no sign of him. Later that night, a cleaning lady touched a small round disc, and she too disappeared mysteriously. Like so many before, she returned decades later to say, "Zero resistance," right before the Great Surrender. Earth became a popular destination, but not for humans. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
course it's not for humans. We've been there, done that. Ooh, what's next? Is there a ring around it? Oh, bubbling pits of acid. Ion storms. Do you have to pay extra for that? Thank you, Lizzie. I should just keep these intros down to like 10 seconds, because I really need that fan. I went 20 minutes in the first section, now 26 minutes, a little faster, but I wouldn't say faster. How about a little less pokey? Pokey is a speed, you know. It's also a horse. And when you think of horses, you think Dionysus, god of horses, I think.
Hi, it's Dionysus Close with a story called Superconductors. The two boys lay still in the darkness. A faint light crept under the door with the woman's sobs. The younger boy leaned closer as something shattered. But they better not fucking touch. Tell me again, T, he whispered. The older boy came back and spoke. I'm in a library with lots of books studying my superconductors. It's easy to get food. I know everything there is about superconductors. What about me, T? Am I there too? Not knowing how he knew, wishing he didn't. You're safe, D, he lied. I wish I could go with you, T. He said, I do too. And grasped the younger boy's hand. That's it for this week. Thanks.
How sad. You've knocked all the energy out of me. I'm just going to sit on the treadmill at this point and slide into the lamp behind me. It's been how many weeks and I haven't moved that lamp? Well, one day I will move that lamp by crashing into it. Thank you, Dionysus, for reminding me that I had to avoid crashing into that lamp. Next up, we have Norval Joe, author of Flypaper Boy, which many of you have gotten. More of you should. Many, many more of you. I know that there are hundreds either listening to this or robotic spiders that are simulating users just to spam and horrendously steal all this material. I don't know for what, though, you crazy Russian bastards. I will get you. I will get you all. I don't really get why you do it. How about Norval Joe? That'll solve things. Tell us a story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of Flypaper Boy Coming of Age. Available at an Amazon near you. There's still time to get your entry in for the Kindle Voyager giveaway by writing a review by tomorrow night, or I'm talking Sunday night. You could have three entries. If you can't get it in by last night, then you can still get it in by the end of the month and have one entry. Anyway, this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 442 with a prompt of superconducting. So, here's my story. Garbage man tapped on the door. Light glinted off the brass plaque. Death was your leader years ago. From what I researched, he's been in prison for 5, Durgle said.
That's true, garbage man said and opened the door. We haven't gotten around to replacing the sign.
A man sat in a chair, his hands raised before him and lightning arcing from one to the other. What do you want? The man asked, his eyes hidden by dark glasses.
Superconductor, this man wants to join us.
What are his powers? Garbage man looked at Durgle and said,
I don't know.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Philip Norval Joe Carroll, the man who is handing out entries like flypaper. I tried to come up with something while walking and listening, but I can't. My mind is wobbly at this point. everything is going funny. Not funny as in a joke or a pun like you would expect with Muncie. I'm not capable of that. That man, he could run a marathon and still yuck it up because that's him. I wish I were him. I wish I were him. Instead, I'm going to wish that I didn't have to listen to Planet Z, just like many of you wish. Let's just skip to the ending. No? Okay, fine.
Billy hates it when it's too hot. He likes it cold. Really cold. He keeps the air conditioner on full blast at home. There's no point in keeping things in the fridge or freezer. His place was a walk-in freezer. One day, it got so cold that the metal wristband on his watch turned into a superconductor. The current coming from the battery in the watch now had zero resistance, and the watch began to levitate. It launched itself across the room, ripping Billy's arm off. He quickly bled to death, sprays of red across his frosty white sofa and carpet.
And that's it for this week. The weekly challenge number 442... superconducting. I think that was the topic, right? Oh, man, I've been going over 52 minutes, but it hasn't been high speed. It's just been boom, 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 boom. And I know there's a sound of in the background. It sounds ominous. I'm going to work on the power isolation. I'll figure it out eventually. I'm sure that this thing will explode. So thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge this week. You can catch more at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. 45 years of that. When does this end? I thought about pulling an Alex, getting a whole bunch of tick marks on my arm, and then how does he kill himself in the Big Chill? Do they ever say? I'm not sure. Well, maybe next year. Something to look forward to. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And a little message from Tom to Danny. After the wadding up the paper thing. Oh, and as always, keep it brief.
And the following goes out to Danny. No less sorrow known. Humans are hardwired to share bonds with other creatures that share this small blue dot. Our relationships with dogs, cats, and horses is deep and strong, and their impending passing is no less impactful as the parting of a brother, sister, parent, or a close friend. Sadness is not a discerning demon. It comes straight at you when you have shared love with another being. The poets have written reams on the power yielded in the eyes of the beloved to take the last look into your friend's eyes and know you will never see them again is just about the limit the human heart can stand. So Danny, though I cannot know how you feel at the loss of Freddie, I can say I know the cold wind that blows through a battered heart. Our cat Squeaks of 19 years is dying, and all we can do is make her comfortable. When she leaves, she will take a part of my heart with her. I will forever be the lesser. It said time heals. It does not. If it did, we would smile instead of cry. Loss is not a nice box you fill, stack, and forgot. Loss hangs around every place Squeaks laid in the sun, sat waiting for the door to open, or jumped through the window at 96 cat years old. When I return from the vet, Gail will cry. I will tell her Squeaks had the best possible life a cat could have because she was her cat. I will hold her and not let her see my sorrow. I will seek out an empty place and cry my guts out, but not every tear. Whenever I think of Squeaks, one will fill my eye. So sorry, Danny.